Amen. Are you ready for your life to be changed?
Amen.
Praise God. Every time we gather around His Word. You know, He is His Word.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, that would change a lot of your private time with Him and your meditation in the Word if you'd realize that when you open that book, your fellowship with Him. You do that, right? Jesus said in the beginning, or the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? The Word is Him. This is Him. And when, you know, it becomes so much more personal, more intimate when you pick this up and you're spending time with Him. Praise God. And so when we gather around this book, or gather around Him, it's always opportunity for change. You know, God leaves His mark where He goes. He's a God of power and might. Amen? And when you get around Him, you can't help but be changed. And so now we're going to bring forth Him this morning, and we can't help but be changed today.
Amen.
And if you came hungry, you know, Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, out of the mouth of Jesus, He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. So if you want to get a filling, you want to get satisfied today, all you have to do is be hungry for Him.
Amen.
I'm hungry for Him.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank You this morning as we gather around You. We are honored and delighted. Father, we thank You for all that You are, for all that You've done, and for all that You've given to us. Now, Lord, I don't take it lightly to stand before people and to share Your Word. Father, I did not any, many, miny, mo my way through the Bible to find a sermon today. I didn't just think up something and decide to preach it. No, Father, spent time seeking You and hearing from the Holy Ghost. Because, Father, You know what every ear in here needs to hear. You know what every person is going through and the situations that they face and the things that they need a touch from heaven on. So, Father, I yield myself to You. And like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, when I open my mouth, please fill it with words from heaven. May I speak not as someone with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the oracles of God this morning. And Father, I thank You that today will be a demonstration of the Spirit in power. And what I mean by that, Lord, is I'm going to say things that are going to strike such a chord in the hearts of people that's going to be so specific to what they're facing right now in their life, the situations and the circumstances that they're in. And Lord, it'll be a sign unto them of how real You are, how much You love them, and how You have a better tomorrow for them. But Father, it'll also be a sign unto them that this is a safe place, or they can come and hear from heaven for their life. But Lord, we don't take the credit for that. It's not about the name on the building. It's not about the person behind this pulpit. It's always about Jesus. It's always about You. It's always about the Holy Ghost. So we exalt them today. We need more of You. So Father, thank You for what we're about to receive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23... Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. These next two verses, if there's any other words that ever fell from Jesus' mouth concerning the topic of faith that's more enlightening, more impactful, I don't know of them. Because He tells us in verse 23, He says, verily I say unto you that whosoever would say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. What's he saying in that verse? Your words through faith in Him can move mountains in your life.
Right.
Amen. I've seen mountains of debt. I've seen mountains of poverty. I've seen mountains of sickness and disease. I've seen mountains of depression and turmoil and stress and anxiety. I've seen those mountains removed through faith. I've seen them. Praise God that mountains don't have to stay. So He said in verse 23, you can have what you say. In verse 24, He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Praise God. That's praying by faith. That when you're in a need, you pray and believe from that moment that you pray, the instant that those words fall from your lips for whatever you need, you believe by faith, it's mine, glory to God. He said, if you'll do it. He said, if you'll pray and believe, he said, you'll have it. But you got to pray and believe. Amen?
Amen.
And so these verses are life-changing. I've pretty much built the ministry, my ministry that Lord had for me. You know, he told me years ago, go teach my people faith. Just like, it's so clear in my spirit, I knew that. And there's no topic that thrills me more than it, you know. And we've built the ministry on these. That's why the logo we have and out in the front of the building, we kind of go with that mountain theme. Why? Because we can speak to those mountains and remove them through faith in the Lord, you know. But here's the thing, you know, our prayers in believing by faith, and believing the moment we pray by faith, that's what we need to do, and speaking to that mountain is good. But if you take God out of the equation, your prayers and your words don't mean very much. What am I saying? We don't magnify our prayers and we don't magnify our words of faith. We magnify the God who answers our prayers and the God that works through our words. Amen. Because this isn't a me gospel and a pat yourself on the back type of gospel. This is about Him, praise God. And without Him, your words mean nothing. Without Him, your prayers mean nothing. But bring Him into the equation, and He can use your words to move mountains. Bring Him into the equation, and He can use your prayers to change things. Hallelujah. But verse 22 tells us this. We like 23, and we like 24. But verse 22, he says, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. The very first thing he tells us, verse 22, please. We go to verse 22, there it is. Jesus answered said, have faith in God. The very first thing that he says before he tells you to believe your words can do something and believe before you can believe your prayers is you got to have faith in the one that's working through your words and working through your prayers. Because he says in verse 23, for that I say whatsoever things you, whoever says, say unto the mountain, and shall not doubt but shall believe. Well, the person we're believing and not doubting in that's going to come behind our words and move those mountains is God. The person that we pray in verse 24 and believe we receive, the one that's going to come through and answer those prayers and make those things come to pass and work is God. And so he tells us, go back to verse 22, please. In verse 22, it says, have faith in God. It starts with having faith in Him. Yeah. But I know this. You can't have faith in something that you don't know. You can't. You can't have faith in something you don't know. The example that I used was when I got in trouble on the interstate years ago and I was going through my gambling problems. You know, my truck broke down on I-90 coming back from the casino in Niagara. My truck broke down and I was unsaved at the time. And the tow truck took me to the garage, you know, and it was a hefty bill, a lot more than I had. I had just lost all my money at the casino. And that's a true story. And there were lots of people coming and going, you know, and using their credit card to pay for their gas and coming into the little convenience store while I waited and paying for things. And there were people pulling in with nice vehicles. And you could tell the people that had money that would have no problem paying for my tow truck bill. But, you know, if I would have gone to any of them and asked them, my confidence level or my faith level in them would be small. I can ask all I want. But my faith level will be small. Why? I don't know them. They don't know me. I don't know what they have. I don't know what their feelings are. I don't know if they're generous. I don't know anything about them. But the person I did call was my dad. Why? I know him. I know what he has. I know his resources. When I got on the phone to call my dad, although I was nervous, I won't deny that, I knew without a shadow of a doubt he wasn't going to leave me stranded there. He wasn't going to leave me stuck there. Now, maybe he should have, but I knew he wasn't going to do it. My faith in him was high. Why? The knowledge. The only thing that set the difference between the strangers and my dad was knowledge. Real quick, go with me to Hosea 4 and verse 6. Have faith in God. You can't have faith in God until you know him. And you might think to yourself, Pastor, come on, I know God. I know God. Do you know God or do you know about God? Wait, let me say that again. Do you know God or do you know about God? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Praise the name of Jesus forevermore. Always bring your Bibles to church. It's good, but we got it on the screen if you didn't bring them. But Hosea 4 and verse 6. Look at this. My people are destroyed For lack of what?
Knowledge.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You could say it this way in the verses we just read. Now, if verse 23 says we can have what we say, and verse 24 says we can have what we pray, but it's all contingent on verse 22, having faith in God, you could say it this way. People's faith is destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge in what? Well, not just the subject of faith, but before you even get into faith, you got to have faith in the one and the belief in the one that's going to work through your faith. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Jesus said in John chapter 8, we don't have to put that up on the screen, but he said in John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, the truth will set you free. Didn't he say that? But he said something before that. He didn't just say the truth will set you free. Because if he said the truth will set you free, then all we need is to have truth. And we have truth. It's the Bible. But he didn't just say the truth will set you free. Did he? He said, if you know the truth will set you free. It doesn't matter that there's truth. There has to be known truth. Known truth sets you free, praise God. And so many people are confessing for mountains to be moved, are going to Him for financial problems and praying with, you know, earnestly. And confessing, they need things changed. They want things changed. They desire things changed. And they're going to Him, Lord, I have this issue. I have this physical issue, this financial issue, this problem in my family, this problem in my business, this problem, whatever, fill in the blank. And they're going to Him. And they're going with a wishing and a hoping. When I called my dad, I did not wish or hope that he would come through for me. I knew he would. That's why I called him. Now I look back at myself, I said, man, I was 20-something years old. I should have got a spanking. I'll tell you the truth. Just a little punk back then, you know. Just no integrity, no character for Jesus. And why he came and bailed me out, I don't know. But I knew he would. And when I made that phone call, I knew. And so many people are going to God with their issues as their children. You know what I found out about my kids? When they need anything, they don't come to me cowering. They don't come to me nervous. They never come to me wondering. Yeah. Amen. They know Dad's good. Dad wants to be blessed. When I need something, Dad's there. Praise God. Amen. That's why they go to me. That's why they don't call you. Not that you wouldn't, but they know us more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's true. Praise God. And so a lot of people are going that way, and they just, we know about God, but do we know God? Real quick, look at Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Real quick. Hallelujah. Daniel 11 and verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. Look at this now. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What does it say? It says for you to be strong and do exploits are great things. You got to know Him. If you don't, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? Oh, I'm confessing. You can go to God all day and pray. Lord, I need this. I need that. My financial. I'd speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. But the kicker to both of those verses is it says you have to believe. And verse 22 says you got to have faith in God. Why? He's the one coming through on your words. He's the one coming through on your prayers. And so many people don't know about God. Or they know about God, but they don't know Him intimately. They don't know Him personally. You know, I know about athletes. And I know, you know, about politicians, but I can't say I know Tom Brady. I know about Tom Brady. I know about Donald Trump, President Trump. I know about so-and-so. I can't say that I know them. I could say I know my kids. I know my wife. I know my mom. I know my dad. I know them. There's a difference of knowing about. See, all those other people, I know them intimately. I know about Tom. I don't know anything really personally about him except what's put in the news and stuff. You know, I never had a conversation with him. Never found out what he feels about things and how, you know, deep, dark things in his life and secrets and how he feels about things. I know about him. I don't know him. And a lot of people, that's where they're at with God. They're so surface with God. I know about God. I've heard pastor talk about him. But do you know him intimately? Praise God. David knew God. He knew him. He knew exactly who he was. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17. That seems like a good place to go. 1 Samuel 17. It's going to be the story of David and Goliath. I just want to bring something out real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look at verse 10. You know how we know your level of how you know God? When a financial crisis shows up in your life, what's your reaction? That will tell how much you know him. When the doctor gives you a negative report that makes your mind go on tilt, what's your reaction? What's your face look like? What's your words to people when you walk out of that office? When you're laying there at night, what are you doing? That tells how much you know God. Amen. It's true. How do I know? Because at times, giants show up in our lives. Ever had a giant show up in your life? What's a giant? Something big, strong, looks like you can't get past it. You ever had a financial giant, physical giant, a relationship giant, something personal with your anything in your life? You ever had those giants? Am I the only one? Don't get quiet on me now. We have giants show up. And when giants show up, it tells us and shows us who knows him and who doesn't. Amen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 10, we know the story. Goliath was a champion, they said, of the Philistines. And he was taunting the Israelites. So who's going to come to battle against me? Who's going to come to battle against me? And they were terrified. The whole army of Israel, God's army, was terrified of this one man. And in verse 10 it says, the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were God's people. And they were afraid. What happened? A giant showed up and it showed their knowledge level in their God. Amen. It's true. Go to verse 26 now. We'd take, for time's sake, we'll skip down to it. So we know David's a shepherd boy and he comes and visits his brother on the battlefield and finds out what's going on, you know. Now remember, Goliath's a man of war from his youth, the Bible says. Champion. He's a champion. He's humongous. And David's just a teenage shepherd boy, right? And in verse 26, David spoke to the men that stood by him, this would be the men in the army of Israel, saying, what's going to be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? He says, I'd like to know what's in it for the person that downs this guy. You see, when you get past giants, there's things waiting for you. There are. Oh, David's whole world and his family's world changed. Got to marry the king's daughter. Got riches and glory and honor from taking down him. He says, I want to know what's behind this giant. Praise God. Now look what he says here. So the giant shows up to a shepherd boy. Now naturally, he should have been terrified. I mean, if the people that are in the army who went to boot camp and who are training and are on the front lines, if they're afraid, the shepherd boy should be afraid. So we can't say, well, David must have been a man of war and training privately. He had some retired Navy SEAL training him in the pastures. No, he was skilled that way. He was a youth. Only difference between him and Israel, the army of Israel, was his knowledge of God. That's it. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God. What was he now talking about? Covenant and relationship. He's saying, when he says uncircumcised Philistine, back then, you know, that the children of Israel, when they were circumcised, that was evidence that they were in covenant with God. He's saying, this guy's uncircumcised. He's not even a child, or not even one of God's people. They weren't children of God at that point, still servants of God. And he says, he's uncircumcised. He has no relationship with God. I am a Jew. And I'm circumcised, and I am in relationship and in covenant with God. And because I'm in relationship and in covenant with Him, there's certain things that belong to me. And being overtaken by an uncircumcised giant is not one of them. Amen. He says, who is he? He's basically trying to tell them, don't you get it? He has nothing on his side except for what he knows and what he can do. I come to this battle with not much natural strength, not much natural training, but what I have back in me is bigger and better than anything Goliath has. When the giant showed up, David showed him. He knew God. Well, when sickness shows up, when sickness shows up, what do people do? Oh, my gosh. What am I going to do? Oh, my gosh. Oh, worry, fret. You don't know Jehovah Rapha. Who's Jehovah Rapha? Oh, only the God in Exodus 15:26 that said, I am the Lord that healeth you. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives your iniquities and heals all your diseases. That's what it says. The children of Israel had a healing covenant with God. We don't have any less than what they had. We're children now. Praise God. So when that shows up, you must not know that God's a healer. When a financial trial shows up in your life and you have no money to pay it, and it looks, the bills are stacked to the ceiling and the money's just right there low on the desk, and you can't make it work. And you get all fretful and worried and concerned and start out of your mouth and calling people and, you know, doubt and unbelief is reigning supreme in your life, you're just showing and demonstrating you don't know Jehovah Jireh. So who's Jehovah Jireh? If you're asking that, you have a problem. It's time to find out. Jehovah Jireh says, God said, that's who I am. One of my covenant names is, I am the Lord who provides. Amen. That's who He is. You talk about knowledge. Just recently I was exposed to, and I'll just say it was a church in Chautauqua or Cattaraugus County because it was. But I'm not going to say what one, because how many of you know that's not love? But I want to just tell the truth. I was exposed to a church that in the church service, I saw it. I watched the video. The pastor declared that God was using the sickness in his body for his glory. And that sickness was just something he was just going to have to live with, and that God gives you more than you can handle, and that God will do that for His glory. I saw it. And the people in the seats are sitting there, yep. I'm thinking, and we wonder why people don't know Him. I saw in the same church a person testify and say that the sickness that they had was their ministry from God. Goes against everything that He is. Everything that He is. Well, why do people say that? They don't know. They just don't know. They don't know Jehovah Rapha. They don't know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17, He Himself took His infirmities and bare your sicknesses. They don't know in Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5 that He has surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet He was smitten, right? Stricken. And the Bible says, by His stripes, in verse 5, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes you are healed. Jesus was a healer then. Jesus is a healer now. Jesus never one time gave anybody a sickness as their ministry. That's what people are hearing. And they don't know. And they, And this, you know, when I say, people say, well, when we get to the sweet by and by, that's actually what's getting preached in places. Because they said, you know, when I get to heaven, then I can enjoy healing in my body. No, by faith you can enjoy it on the earth. Hallelujah. Ha, Michelle. Healed of what? What was the main one? Yes. MS. That's pretty good. Julie? Is healing real? Fibromyalgia was real in your life, wasn't it? Yeah. Asthma was real in your life. How much medication were you taking for those things? Breathing treatments every 5 hours. How much breathing treatments are you on now?
None.
How much medicine are you on to calm the symptoms of fibromyalgia? None. Came in, learned about. Now, they didn't know this stuff before they learned it, right? You learned about healing, and they learned about healing, and they got it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
We can go around the room right now. Say, hey, tell us your story. I remember when Jake came to me in Olean. I took Jake out to lunch at Applebee's. You were a mess, weren't you? He was. 5 years ago, I took him out to lunch at Applebee's, and I said, if you'll listen to everything I say, God will change your life. Now, you have to qualify that, because you hear someone say that and think, are they leading me down? Because I said, but everything I say is going to be the Bible. But I told him, I said, if you listen to everything I say, God will change your life. And he did. How much medication, addictions, and things? You were on a whole stack of all that stuff. How many addictions you have now? How much medication you taking now? None.
Amen.
This stuff is real.
Amen.
I'm going to stand up here and preach that God's a sickness giver and God's a poverty giver. He's not. But if you don't know it, you know, I could go around the room, but the common thread with all of them is they didn't know it. And when they knew it, they used their faith and got it.
Amen.
Yeah. David knew something about God. He knew something about God. Praise the Lord. Grandma Alice, I love what your doctor said. Wave your hand, Grandma Alice. Wave your hand, Grammy. I've adopted her as my grandma. Doctors talk about things in her life and diabetes, things like that, and said the results are nothing short than amazing. Praise God. It's true. Well, Grandma, did you know anything about healing before you came and heard the word? Not a thing. And you dealt with sickness, didn't you? And dealt with different things. But when you learn about him, things change.
Amen.
But so many people have no clue. They're either sitting at home getting nothing or sitting in dead churches just hearing fluff and religion.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want people to face giants and cower. I want people to go forward in strength and in power of God. You know, when these things show up, it's such a good litmus test. Right now in your life, what are you troubled by? What are you stressed about? What are you worried sick over? You just don't know him enough. Why? He's the all-consuming, all-encompassing, all-blessing God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when people say, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? You just proving you don't know him. You know why? Because he said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. Or he's gone. When people write songs, you know, I'm very particular about the songs I do. Why? We're not just going to pick some worldly Christian song that just sings about doubt and unbelief and doesn't sing scripture. No. And they sing songs about, oh Lord, I want to be close to you. Oh, Lord, it's some emotional garbage. How much closer can he get to you? He's on the inside. It's ignorance writing that music. He's there. Oh, Lord, where'd you go? Right there. That's where he went, right there. He said, I will be in you and I will dwell in you. And greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where are you? Can't get any closer. I remember I had a person talk to me about their student loan debt. But pastor, except they came to me and said, God said he'll meet all your needs. He's Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, the healer and the provider. Yeah, he is. And what did he say in 3 John verse 2? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, Jehovah Jireh, and thou be in good health, Jehovah Rapha. He desires that you prosper and be in health. Why? You're his child. He wants the body of Christ prospered and healthy so they can do what needs to be done. And they were saying to me, they were talking about their debt and things. And I said, he's Jehovah Jireh. He'll meet those needs. But pastor, you don't know how much I'm talking about. I sat and listened. Had my trump card ready just to slam it down, you know. not in a debate way, but in a helpful way, you know. I'm talking. This is what they said to me. Like, they were really prepping me to be nervous about this. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. And I have, pray for me. Because that sarcastic little thing on the inside of me comes out at times. And I said, ooh. And I was trying to help him, and I did. I was making fun of him, but trying to get it over. Sometimes sarcasm brings home the point. I said, ooh. Because God is really scared about that amount. What are they telling me? I don't know God enough. I don't have faith to believe that my God is big enough. There's an amount that God gets pushed out and can't do anymore. What's that showing me? You don't know God enough. You don't know God enough. We're trying to get you to know him so intimately that no matter what impossibility stands in front of you, because Goliath was an impossibility. That matchup was impossible. Amen. But you know what he did? He said, he called his shot. So I'm going to take you down, I'm going to cut your head off. That's what he said. Why? Because he's some champion. No, he's a shepherd boy, but he knows God, and that's all he needs. That's it. And what did he do? He ran towards the giant. Ran. Read the story. Ran towards him. He knows him. When people question God based on circumstances. I remember I was going to... Lord told me to go to Rhema Bible Training Center, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Brother Hagin's school. And spoke that to me in 2003. Well, at the time, my dad and I were working out at a gym in Pennsylvania that is actually within a church. They don't have it anymore, so you don't go looking for it or anything like that. But they had a gym there, and we had a membership there. And I had gotten to know the pastor, wonderful, sweet man. And he knew I had a call to ministry. He said, what are you going to do with that call? I said, well, the Lord spoke to me. He told me to go to Bible school in Oklahoma. Brother Hagin said, oh, that faith and healing school. I could tell he was not for it, you know. And he said, why are you going there? I said, I just told you, you know, God told me to go there. Heard it from heaven clearly. He said, yeah, but they teach that divine healing stuff. I said, yeah, they're a Bible school. If you're going to teach the Bible, you can't separate divine healing from the Bible. The children of Israel, go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and look at all, or Deuteronomy 28, and look at all the blessings of following God, how many related to health in their body. That's Old Testament. The Bible says we have a new and better covenant upon better promises. We didn't take a step backwards knowing Jesus. We took a step forward. We get what they had at least. At least what they had. Oh, so God healed the servants, but now his children he's going to turn his back on. That would be like me blessing the gardener that comes and gardens my house and landscapes my house and making sure my children have nothing. No, we're in a better position than they ever were. We're children of God. They weren't. You couldn't be a children of God until you received Jesus. John 1 and verse 12 tells us that. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. Amen. Glory to God. They teach healing. I said, no, they teach the Bible. I said, no, that's not the Bible. So what do you mean that's not the Bible? Now I was waiting for a pastor to show me in the Word that God's not a healer. Because I can sit there and all day show you that he is. And that's not me being arrogant and bragging about knowledge of the Bible. It's just all in there. That's like me saying, oh, I can show you how to change my oil in my lawnmower. Oh, you're such a braggart. No, I just have the manual here. It tells me how to do it. He says that Bible doesn't teach that. I said, it doesn't? Now, because I had respect for him, and he's a pastor. And I thought, and let me just say that. You don't be the baby bird that sits in the church pews. What's the baby bird? The baby bird sits there with its mouth wide open. Mah, mah. And what happens? Mama could swoop in with a stick of dynamite, a firecracker, drop that in the baby bird's mouth, and that baby bird would swallow that thing. Well, that's what a lot of people do. So-and-so said this. Gulp. Yeah, but so-and-so said this. Gulp. Is it the word? I don't care what so-and-so said. I don't care what who and who said or how much you trust them or love them. You can still love them. But if they're not speaking the Bible, it doesn't matter. This is what brings us truth. And so I thought, he's a pastor, because I was that baby bird back then. But I had known enough that my pastor had always shown everything in the Bible. That's what was so refreshing when I came to this church. But oh my gosh, I've been in church my whole life and haven't heard any of this stuff. And it's all in there. And so I think it was on the treadmill at the time. I got off and said, what do you mean it's not in the Bible? I thought he was going to give me verses. No. He said, Sister so-and-so in my church. He said, she loved God more than anyone I know. She served in everything that we had, was so faithful. I mean, she loved God, and she was believing for her healing, and she died. He said, if there's anybody that would have got it, it would have been her. And so, because she didn't get it, that's proof that God's not a healer. Well, now knowing more, I would have said back then, you don't know God very well. Because a lot of people associate God with circumstances. And what people are going through. Well, God must not be a provider if so-and-so, who cries when the worship is on, who serves in the church, who's faithful, is going through a financial problem. God certainly can't be a provider. Wait a minute. Does their situation change the unchangeable? The word? No. Well, God can't be a healer, Sister so-and-so. We don't judge God by circumstances and situations. We judge God by the word. You don't know every situation and circumstance of what people are facing. You don't know behind closed doors. I already showed you today that we have to receive our promises through faith. Just because you see someone say, by his stripes I'm healed, that sickness is going away, I'm not moved by it. You don't know at home if they're treating their spouse like garbage. You don't know if they're backbiting and talking and holding grudges and being bitter, because we already saw that without love there's no faith. You don't know what's going on in the quiet times. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Just because you see people's church faces, you don't know. And I'm not saying that woman died because she wasn't in faith. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is I know what the word says about God and the healer. And that pastor was judging the whole doctrine of healing on somebody that didn't receive it. Yeah. Well, if that's how we're going to judge God, then you know what we have to say about him? That God's okay with people going to hell. Wow. If you're going to judge God by circumstances and situations, then we can no longer say that God wants everybody to be saved, because you know what? Not everybody's saved.
Right.
Not everybody's saved. Not everybody's going to heaven. Jesus talked about hell and people that are going to be there. Yeah. That's what he said. Will not perish. You receive him, you will not perish. What's the perishing? Eternity in hell.
Right.
Well, if we're going to judge God and say, God must not be willing that everybody be saved just because everybody's not saved, then that's what we're going to say. Or we could go by the word, and he says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that whosoever would receive. And that it's God, even though it's God's will, doesn't mean that everybody's going to receive it.
Right.
Not because he doesn't want them to receive it. Remember, he said, my promises are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that. Knowing him, people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
People question God and question situations and circumstances and question him. You want to know what his take is on things? Read the manual.
Right.
Read the manual. It's in here. It's all in here. And that's why I watch that, and I think, oh my gosh, those poor people that are hearing that God gives sickness for ministry, that God gives sickness to use for his glory, that Caleb got in a fight with a book the other day. And the book won. He was pulling his book out of his bag and was stuck, and it released. It came up and got him real good. Scratched up, the doctor said it was a pretty significant scratch, and we're going to pray for you after the service, buddy. Amen. We believe God for that healing, for that. But imagine. Oh, gosh, Lord, that's good. Imagine if he came here. Buddy, what happened? Dad socked me. Dad did this to me. Dad poked my eye with something sharp. Pastor Mike, Caleb said, why'd you do that? For my glory. For my glory. How dumb and idiotic does that sound? And Christians are shouting it from the rooftops. Pastors are shouting it from the rooftops. There was a woman, I don't know if you've ever seen the story, I've seen a few of them, but the one I'm thinking of is about 5-6 years ago, maybe a little longer. She was shaving her daughter's head and putting a bandage on her body where the port for chemotherapy would go in, and she would make her daughter take pills that made her real tired and exhausted and worn out, and wasn't feeding her enough to get her to lose weight, and told everybody she had cancer. She was making her daughter sick. Why? She was getting financial gain from it. Well, you, by your reaction, you're not sitting there thinking, that's okay. What's wrong with making your child sick? That's my point. How can people stand up and call the God who gave Jesus, who gave his all so we would not perish, and call him a sickness giver? And that he's okay with his children being sick when you just... They don't know him. Base it on circumstances. You can't base God on circumstance. You base God on the Word. You don't base God on your past failures either. Well, I didn't receive my healing back then. Well, maybe you know more now. Maybe you know faith better now. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Anybody get any help today? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Knowing him. Verse 2. Grace and peace. Oh, man. Anybody need more grace and peace in their life? Be multiplied unto you. Now, the other religious idea is that God's just going to do what God wants to do. And we could all use more grace and more peace. What's grace? Grace is God's ability. Grace, for by grace are you saved. It was God's grace, his mercy, his favor, his kindness, his power. So what is grace? Grace is his abilities, his power, his might, who he is. Anybody need more of that in your life? I do. Amen. Grace and peace. He said, I'll give you peace that passes understanding. That means when you're going through hell on earth and you're going through things that surely should get you troubled, you have peace through the whole thing. And people on the outside look and say, how? How? It's called the supernatural peace of God. I could use peace and grace. Could you? Amen. Well, the world would say it's just going to come to you if he wants to do it. And if God's just, you know, your number came up today, you'll get more grace and peace. But if not, you just hold on and you just suffer and get by until you get to the sweet by and by. No. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, comes through something, the knowledge of God. Amen. And Jesus our Lord. Praise God. The result of knowing God, Daniel said, was great exploits. The result of knowing God causes your faith to work. The result of knowing God brings grace and peace multiplied in your life. So you want more grace and peace? You can't do it unless you know him. You can't do it unless you know him. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given us... Oh, here we go now. According as his divine power has given unto us... What's the next word? All things. Well, that should define it enough for you. What's an all thing? An all thing is an all thing. But he tells you what all things he's talking about here. all things that pertain unto life, which is natural, godliness, which is spiritual. What is he saying? He said, I've already given you. The word hath is past tense, not present tense, not future tense. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things. He said, I've already given you everything you need that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need. And people will sit there and think, okay, then where's this that I need in life? Where's this that I need for my life? Well, he said it's going to come through something. Through what? The knowledge of him. David's life was different than the children of Israel that were sitting on the sidelines cowering for one reason. He knew him more. That's it. Daniel said, the difference between someone that doesn't do great exploits and the one that does do great exploits come down to one thing, knowledge. They that know. Jesus said the difference between being free and being in bondage comes down to one thing, knowledge of the truth. That's it. The difference, Hosea said, the prophet, to the children of Israel, between being destroyed and not being destroyed, where my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why do some Christians seem to go through life and have it and the victory and are walking in prosperity and walking in health and walking in the blessings, and then some aren't? It's not because God's a picker and a chooser. It's got to come through something, and maybe you just don't know him enough yet. And again, what's the litmus test of how you know him? How do you react when the giants show up? Because when the giant showed up, David showed how he reacted. He said, let's go. My God's bigger than that thing. And the Israelites, oh, they didn't know him. Job 22, verse 21. Job, oldest book in the Bible. Before the book of Psalms, Job 22, verse 21. You know what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3? He said, he went down through his resume. Because before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And when he was Saul of Tarsus, he was one of the highest religious scholars there were. A Pharisee of the Pharisee. He said he knew the law inside out. He went through all of his accomplishments. And you know what he said? He said, all those things I've gained, I count them as loss. He said, actually, they're but dung to me, is the word he used. Yeah. See, Paul had potty humor too. Call them dung. He said, they're all dung. He said, in comparison to knowing Jesus. In those verses, he says, my greatest desire, the thing I strive for the most, is to know him more. To know him more. To know him more. Why? So much comes from knowing him more. Look what Job 22, verse 21 says. Acquaint now yourself with him. You know what the word acquaint means? To cause to get to know. You just say it this way, to get to know. Be acquainted with somebody. I know of Tom Brady, I'm not acquainted with him. I know President Trump, I'm not acquainted with him. But I'm acquainted with a lot of you. I have a relationship. I know you, right? Look what it says. Acquaint not yourself with him. Get to know him. And what's the result? And be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Look at the result of knowing him. Acquaint now yourself. Amen. I'm not criticizing when I say this. So when I say this, don't think I'm criticizing. But I need you to know that Courtney was not a mail order bride. Now, again, I'm not saying that that's... let me get to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the first time that we stood at the altar to get married was not the first time I met her. I was acquainted with her from spending time and taking time to get to know her. When I stood at the altar, there was no surprises. She didn't come off the plane and say, let's do this thing. I'm not criticizing. That's not my cup of tea, but I'm not criticizing that, but I just need you to know that, because to be acquainted, to stand there that day and not be surprised by one another and to know one another, it's because we took time to get to know and acquaint ourselves with one another. Why, when sickness shows up, and we would all agree that God is bigger than any sickness, God is bigger than any financial problem, the Bible says there's nothing too hard for Him, nothing shall be impossible for Him. Why, when those things show up on our doorstep, do we not act like David, but act like the children of Israel? Because we just don't know Him enough. Why? Because there's no peace. He says, if you know me, peace will come to you. We got to take time, ladies and gentlemen, to get to know God, not know about Him. The God that Pastor Mike preaches about. What about the God that works in your life? You see, when sickness knocks on my door, oh, it can't stay. It's not allowed to stay. It's trespass. I just know Him too much. Father, You're the healer living on the inside of me. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. How can sickness stay? How can it stay? It can't. When poverty tries to show up and rear its ugly head, no. My God shall supply all my needs. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. Amen. But people that don't know Him, what do? They just sit back, wait for God to do something. But this tells us that we have a responsibility to get to know Him. Well, how do we get to know Him? And we'll just close here. He's found in here. He's found in here. A lot of times I'll refer people back to a series that I've preached and things that we preach them on whenever the Holy Ghost says, but you know, if I preach the healing series once, I'm going to preach it again and again and again. Why? Faith comes by hearing. But there'll be people that will say, I never heard this stuff. Why did this baptism, the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues thing, you know, there's a ditch on every topic. You know, they're either in the ditch where the church is crazy and they do things out of order, or there's the ditch where they don't ever talk about the Holy Ghost, but there's the middle of the road. It's called the Word. Or there's the ditch on healing that God never heals, right? And don't ever talk about it, right? And then all you talk about all time and don't talk about anything else would be, that'd be another ditch, but there's a middle of the road. And I'll point people back to say, okay, you need to find out what God said about healing for you to know Him, get the faith for it, and believe for it. So I'll point them back, say, you want to know who He is? Go back and listen to that series. That series has the Word on healing. That series has the Word on finances. That series has the Word on God's take on the Holy Ghost. And again, you say, Pastor, what makes you the authority? Nothing. The Word is the authority. That's why you take what I say and you look. Is it in there? Is it in there? Who cares that my tie looks good today? I know, because I had a good divot this morning and I was proud of it. I'm just messing with you. Although I really did think that. But that means nothing in the grand scheme of things. Oh, if you don't know my sarcastic nature, you might be rubbed the wrong way. It's like the lady that was on worship team years ago. She's at the Jamestown Church. And she was going to do a solo when I was leading the worship team there. And she sang. And I looked at her and I was like, that is one of the worst things I've ever heard. And I thought my action and my face was so obvious how sarcastic I was being. And she started bawling. I thought, oh, man, Pastor Mike, you did it now. I said, I am so sorry. Forgive me. That was a joke. It sounded great. Let's do it, you know. Hallelujah. But you don't just receive just because someone has a ministry or has a church, big church, small church, on TV. It doesn't matter. What does he say in the Word? But we'll refer people back and say, you need knowledge on this stuff. You need to, a lot of you, and I'll close with this, say this, a lot of you need the old ways retaught. I did. I needed a lot of rewiring. No one told me a lick about healing or the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost? What's that? Prosperity? God cares about your finances? Nobody told me this stuff. Or they preached against it. I had to have my mind rewired. Give me 2 minutes. Romans 12 and verse 2. We'll close with this verse. Just popped up in my heart and it'll bless you. You know Him by the Word. You know Him by the Word. Look what it says in Romans 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now look at what the result is, the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He says you can never get into the perfect will of God unless your mind's renewed. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. What's transformation? It's change. How are you changed from one thing to another? The Bible tells you, you want to be changed from sickness to health, from poverty to prosperity, from depression to joy, from fear to courage and strength. You got to renew your mind to the Word. Jesus said, if you'll know the truth, you'll be set free. Is bondage of financial poverty and sickness and depression and anxiety and stress and fear? Do they have a grip on you? Do they have a hold on you? Are you bound by it? Jesus told you how to get free. If you'll know my truth, you'll be set free. Because the Word is the answer to every one of your problems. And once you know it, it's like I know my dad, faith comes up, confidence comes up. So then, when I open my little mouth and confess to that mountain or pray to my God, because I know the truth, I know the Word, I know who He is, when I say that to that mountain, I'm speaking faith words. When I'm on my face and praying and believing God for things that doesn't look like can happen, and they're faith words, and they happen. Why? I know Him. It's all about knowledge. All about knowledge. So I encourage every single one of you. What area is it in your life that you're struggling with in your faith? What area in your life is it that you are unsure of? You hear me say today, oh, I don't know about that healing stuff. Well, why don't you throw away what you think and throw away what someone told you your whole life and say, you know what? I'm going to come in an open mind. And if it's in the Word, I'll accept it. If it's not, then that crazy South Dayton preacher is a whack job. To find out for yourself. Stop being that baby bird. Well, I don't know about this whole prosperity, financial, Holy Ghost business stuff. I'm just not sure about it. It's weird to my flesh, so I'm just going to avoid it. Immature. Immature. The Bible says spiritual things are always uncomfortable to man. The things of the Spirit, the Bible says, are foolishness to man. The things of the Word are going to rub you the wrong way and make you... That's why you got to renew your mind to it. You got to rewire. Yeah. Amen? But ladies and gentlemen, oh, what a life is waiting for you if you'll get to know Him. Things will show up and you'll laugh. When the devil knocks on my door and I open it up and there he's standing, we laugh. We laugh, praise God. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. Lord, I pray for every single person here that their eyes would be open to this, Father. And it doesn't matter what Reverend so-and-so said. Doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what grandma or grandpa so-and-so or friend or co-worker so-and-so said. Father, I pray that people would lay down their traditions and their ideas and their own thoughts and they would come to the Word of God ready to be saturated with what you say, Father. What you think about something. And if they're confused or they need help or need direction, Father, that's what the pastor's for. Father, I'm just going to show them what it says in the Bible. Whether they receive it or not is up to them. But Lord, it's all in there. Lord, we thank you so much today for your goodness and for your mercy. Father, you're so kind and so good to us, so loving and so merciful. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Father. I think about my life as a Christian before. All the word I had was that Jesus died for me, and I received that word, and my life was changed. I got salvation, and I was a new creature, and I could sense something was different on the inside, but I still dealt with sickness and disease. I still dealt with poverty in my finances. I still dealt with major depression in my mind. I still had addictions and habits that ruled me as a Christian. But when I found out the truth, bondages and chains started busting off me. Sickness gone. Poverty gone. Depression gone. Anxiety and stress gone. Addictions, things I put in my body, things I did go to, they're all gone because I got the truth, got faith, and my God came through for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Father, I think about that. That's good. That if David doesn't step on the scene, nobody's going to take care of him. The problem would never have gone away until somebody that knew God stepped up and did something with their knowledge. Goliath would have stayed right there. Whoo-wee. There's things in our lives that are just standing there and staying and staying and staying. And begging and pleading and moaning and groaning and groaning and grumbling and griping and complaining, that's not how you're going to get it to go. You're going to get it to go by learning about Him and what He says and faith rising up on the inside of you and confessing to those mountains and telling them to go through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! We thank you for it, Father. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If the answer isn't, I'd go to heaven. Well, I want to help you because that's what's available to you. It's not about your church attendance. It's not about your good works outweighing your bad works. It's not about how much money you've given to charity. It comes down to what you do with Jesus. The Bible says if you'll call on his name, you'll be saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells us, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, if you're here this morning, and you could say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I think I'd go to heaven. My goodness, when it comes to eternity, let's get off the fence. Let's be sure about this thing. Now, if you've already received him and you've had a bad year, a bad month, a bad 10 years, you just repent. He hasn't left you. But if you could say, Pastor, I've never personally made Jesus my Lord and Savior. I've never entered into a relationship with him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time ever into your life, would you just lift your hand high in the air right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Is there anybody at all that wants to receive Jesus this morning? Anybody at all? Going once? Father, I don't see any hands in this building. So I trust that everybody under the sound of my voice has received Jesus. But if by chance there's someone here or listening online or in the future on the archive, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And Father, I pray that they would accept him and realize how easy it is, and they would cry out to you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you. You can open your eyes. When I was getting ready this morning, the Lord spoke to me about a healing anointing that would be tangible here. I thought, oh, that's awesome because I'm going to lay hands on my son, but it's not just for him. If you're here and you're dealing with sickness in your body, come forth. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll what? Recover. Thank you, sir. So, buddy, come on forward. Is there anybody else that wants to receive healing? Just stand up here. That's good, buddy. Hallelujah. Anybody else that wants to receive healing? I've had so many testimonies. And it's important that you know that I'm not the healer. I don't know how to heal. But I know that through the Word and through power and believing in Him, His power is real, praise God. Amen. Everybody that's up here, look up here at me real quick. Pay attention over there. I want to help you here. I'm glad we have love, but I want to get some important into you. Are you ready to receive this morning? Because it's not about my faith and my prayer. It's about you taking what God has for you. And He's a healer. Amen? And so when I lay hands on you, Mark chapter 16 is going to go into effect. He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so when I lay hands on you, it doesn't matter if you can't feel it right away. It doesn't matter if you go back and the symptoms are still there, they get worse. We prayed, the power of God went in you. We believe, we receive in the name of Jesus. So Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, in the name of Jesus, be free from that hope. Be free. Buddy, you ready to receive? In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for supernatural, speedy recovery on this eye. In Jesus' name, be free, bud. Sandy, you ready? You ready to receive his power? Father, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, be free, Sandy. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. Jenny, you ready? I know you are. Praise God. You believe he's a healer, don't you? Father, healer in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Oh, praise God. Yes, yes, yes. We thank you, Lord. 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 Lord said this to me, keep expecting more increase. Keep expecting more increase. I know you guys have seen increase, but keep expecting more increase. Father, from the top to the bottom, from the top to the bottom. Healed in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. The name that's above all names. Miranda, are you ready to receive? Father, in the name of Jesus, be free, Miranda, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Father, we thank you. Let's thank him now. Thank you, Lord. And we'll have testimonies. We will. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the healing power of God. Now, Father, again, we recognize, I'm not the healer. You're the healer. Jesus went about him. Trevor, what's up, buddy? You ready to receive your healing? Do you believe God can do it? Do you believe he wants to do it? He does. He loves you so much. Are you ready to receive from him? Put your hands up high in the air and close your eyes. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, the power of God's going to go in my body and heal me of whatever I need. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for his healing. Be free of the power of God from the top of his head to his little feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you. Let's worship him now. Good job, buddy. I'm proud of you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. You know, when Jesus was the body of Christ, when he was the physical body of Christ, what did he do? He went around healing all that were sick, right? For those of you that are in your seats right now struggling with this, or listening online saying, I'm struggling with this, what did Jesus do on the earth? He went about healing the sick. How did he do it? Laying hands on them. Well, the Bible says he's the same yesterday in the Bible times, the same today, and the same forever. We'll say, well, he's not here anymore. How's he doing it? He's doing it through his body. That's why in Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He needs us to preach the gospel for people to receive it. He said, go into all the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils. Why? Because that's what he was doing when he was on the earth. Well, he's not here to do it anymore, but guess who is? The ones that have him living on the inside. You know what else he's not here to do anymore? Lay hands on the sick. He can't get to your home. He can't get to your workplace. He can't get to the grocery store. But you know who can? The ones that have him living on the inside. That's why he said, go into all the world and do these things. Because we are now the body of Christ. What Jesus was doing, we're to take up that mantle and go forward in the power of the Holy Ghost and do the same thing. So if you're struggling with this in your mind, you just don't know enough yet, and that's okay. You can't know until you know. Amen. But do not just walk away and turn your back on this because it rubs you the wrong way or it's uncomfortable. You do that, you'll never get anywhere with God, because a lot of God's things and the deep things of the Spirit are super uncomfortable to the flesh. Jesus made people uncomfortable because it was Spirit coming out of him. Spirit and flesh clash, the Bible says. What am I saying? Don't let that trip you up. Amen? Real quick, those of you that have been planted with me for a while, raise your hands if you came out of a place that taught nothing like you've learned here. Raise your hands. Look. Everybody look around. Look around. And how many of you keep your hands? Now put your hands down again. How many of some of this stuff was weird to you at first? Raise your hand. Wow. Almost all the same hands. But you know what they did? Doesn't matter what I was taught. Doesn't matter what I feel. What's the word? And if it's the word, it's God. And if it's God, I want him. Yes. Amen? Yes. Let's stand up and rejoice and give him praise before we close. Father, we glorify you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday service. Don't forget Donut Sunday. You're dismissed.